still come back to what I thought from the very beginning. If anybody asks me why, it's Indiana. It's Indiana.
What's going on, Hoosier Nation? Welcome back to another edition of Podcast on the Brink. Matt Dollinger here. As always, I'm joined by my co-host, Greg Rosenstein, and we've got a great guest for you today. He's a former IU player and coach, now at Michigan State, Dane Fyfe. How you doing, Dane?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate taking the time, and it was nice seeing you return to Assembly Hall the other night. I know the game didn't end the way you wanted to, but can you just talk to us a little bit about what it was like coming back and being on the opposing bench?
Well, I'll tell you what, I got my feet wet earlier in the day when we did our team shoot around. So I spent some time with Tim Gall, a longtime trainer there. It was a bit overwhelming early, just from the standpoint that I've been through so many great games, so many great, and just so many memorable even practices and the camaraderie, the friendships that were built there. So when I say overwhelming, it was a little emotional just standing out there before the game. But we had a job to do. I had a job to do. Part of the Michigan State Spartan family now, that doesn't mean that Indiana Assembly Hall, Indiana University, Indiana Basketball is any less special to me and dear to my heart. But I have a job to do, and I'm a Michigan State Spartan now. But all in all, unbelievable experience. It's great to see Coach Crean in Indiana. I sent Fred Glass a text last night. It's just great to see things back the way they should be. I know Coach Crean is reaching for a lot more, and he'll get there. He may get to this year. I mean, they're a heck of a basketball team. They're really, really, really good. And it's just really good to see Indiana doing what they're doing.
With that said, and obviously just having so much history at Indiana as a player and a coach, was it just kind of strange just going against the Hoosiers?
Excuse me. A couple times I found myself walking towards Indiana's bench because I'd been conditioned for so many years that was my bench. Yeah. So I did it before the game, right, just before announcements, and then I did it at halftime. I walked down towards Indiana's bench again, and I'd forgotten that wasn't my bench anymore. But little things like that. It was neat to see the support personnel, Chris Reynolds, Kit Klingelhofer, just all those, Chuck Crabb, all those people that were involved in so many of those memories that were created. Just great people, a great place.
Absolutely. And I think, IU fans, love to see you back. And I think they're also happy to see you at Michigan State. It seems like Indiana has a lot of respect for Michigan State, and it's mutual. And now that Tom Crean and Tom Izzo are both coaching those schools, there's also a little bit of a connection there. What's it been like, working your first season under Tom Izzo? I know you guys go back many years, but what's it been like, sharing a bench with him and kind of learning from him?
Well, it's exactly what I wanted to do when I left the head job at Fort Wayne. Mm-hmm. And I've said this, for a while now, is to have a chance to play for Bob Knight, Mike Davis, to be a head coach in Division I, and to coach under Tom Izzo, all essentially under the age of 32. That's a heck of a deal for anybody, and I feel very, very, very fortunate and thankful I've been allowed to be put in these positions. But I think a key is that I've been able to really understand what it takes to operate, to manage not just the program, but the more important details of managing players, managing a staff, and from another perspective. I mean, I know the Knight way. Mike Davis, who took over for Knight, ran it in very similar fashion. College basketball is a business of its own, and what I mean by that, it's not the NBA, it's not high school. There's a way to win, there's a way to succeed in college basketball. And I wanted to get a better understanding of a very good, in fact, a great blueprint that they had here prior, obviously prior to my arrival at Michigan State. And it's something that I'm coming to understand every day. There are true and factual reasons as to why, you know, this is a juggernaut. And, you know, obviously, Coach, it can be everything points towards Coach Izzo, and he certainly worked for it.
Now, when you were at IPFW, you were really starting to make your mark and build that program. How could you kind of go back to that decision to leave, and how difficult was that, knowing that, you know, you were really hitting your stride there?
Well, again, decision one was I wanted to coach here. I wanted to coach with Coach Izzo. I wanted to coach in an elite program. And, you know, outside looking at it, it's probably a pretty gutsy move because there's only 350 Division I jobs. And, you know, if it were 6 years ago, it'd be a no-brainer. IPFW was not in the league 6 years ago. They virtually were funded probably more like a junior college than a Division I program. Just a very, very difficult situation. So if it were 6 years ago, it'd be an easy one. But we were headed in the right direction. We were finishing top five in the league, which is dang good in a very tough league. You know, especially last year, it was a really tough league. In fact, I think they had more pros, more NBA players from the Summit League than maybe the Big Ten. I could be wrong, but really stop and think about that's the case. So it was a tough decision because we were moving in the right direction at Fort Wayne. And, you know, the logical step would be to win there and get a bigger job. But it felt like there was something more important for me, being still relatively young in the business. There was just something more important for me, and that was to really get a sense of how to win and how to coach and how to manage at an elite level.
You know, you have a lot of accolades from your playing days. You were Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year. You're IU's career leader in steals. But I think what people remember you most for is being a part of that 2002 team that went to the title game. I'm pretty sure it's safe to say that this is IU's best season since that year, which kind of leads people to draw comparisons between the two teams. And I wanted to kind of ask you to see if you really thought that there are some similarities between those two teams, or if maybe people just kind of compare them because both teams are successful.
Well, I think it's easy to compare them because they're successful, but I think, you know, outside looking in, I'm not there every day. But just on the outside, it's easy for me to see that they play hard. But I think bigger than that, they play with passion. And it really seems to me that they like each other. They've got a group of guys that enjoy each other. And, you know, they've got a very good catalyst in Holes. And Oladipo continues to improve. Zeller, all those guys continue to improve. And that's one thing that we did. And, you know, just another thing. One thing that we did was we got better as the year went on, and most teams tend to, you know, stay the same or probably regress because they're tired of the wear and tear, they're tired of the grind. And I think the thing that we're seeing with Indiana before our eyes is they're continuing to get better towards the end of the year, and they continue to peak, and you saw that on Tuesday night. They were outstanding in the way they executed. But I think bigger than that, they had absolute passion. And you'll see Coach Green and hear Coach Green talk about that. And he lives it every day. And I think he's a big part of it, no question.
These past few years, Indiana has obviously struggled mightily. Kind of watching from afar and being so connected to Indiana, how hard was it kind of watching the struggles happen like that?
Well, it was hard on a few fronts. First of all, like you said, Indiana's, you know, essentially I call Indiana, you know, my program. I mean, that's the one I grew up with. That's the one that I played for. So it's tough seeing Indiana, you know, the program that I loved, go through that. The second part is it's tough seeing Coach Green. and Tim Buckley and all the people that I know there. It was tough seeing, you know, those guys go through it, because we know the amount of time that Coach Crane and his staff and Chris Reynolds and guys that really are directly involved in the program, Tim Garl, trainer, that are really directly involved in the program, you know how much time they put in. You know how much they care. I think that's a bigger part, is knowing how much they care. But I think, you know, the state of where Indiana was left when Coach Crean took over, I think the people that understand athletics knew that it wasn't going to be a 1-2-3 year process. It's we're finally seeing the fruits of that hard labor that they put in to get the program back going.
You know, a big part about, you know, Coach Knight and what people remember about him is not just the fact that the team won, but, you know, they kind of played a certain brand of basketball and that they were good students in the classroom and you know, a team you really liked. Is that something you see Coach Creaney now doing in Bloomington now? And maybe there's probably not a lot of similarities between Crean and Knight, but would you say there's something like that there?
I think it's 100% accurate. Coach Crean, I know, has the utmost respect for, one, the game of basketball. Two, I know he has a love and appreciation for Coach Knight and what Coach Knight did and Coach Knight's legacy. And I know he just wants to build on that. I think that's first and foremost. And I don't want to put words in Coach Crean's mouth, but I know, knowing him for as long as I have, I know he just wants to build on the legacy that Coach Knight obviously created there, and all the great basketball players and coaches before. He just wants to build on that tradition. I think he has a full understanding of how important Indiana basketball is to the people of that state, to the alumni, to college basketball. I think, you know, you don't leave a Big East, you know, a solid Big East program in Marquette that Coach Crean had essentially rebuilt and for just another school. I think, you know, he said it best when he said, why Indiana? He said, it's Indiana. I mean, it's an easy decision. And, so I think Coach Crean and his staff, they fully understand, you know, what's at stake when you take that job.
Having spent this year with Coach Izzo, and I know, you know, you've known Crean for a while just from him. He recruited you right out of high school?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you've known him a while. I mean, what similarities do you see, you know, maybe in coaching or maybe off the court? I know you said you're, you know, watching from afar, but between Coach Crean and Coach Izzo at this point?
Well, I think their competitive nature is very similar. That's why they worked so well together. Intense passion for winning, and passion for developing the developing the complete student athlete. Wins and losses obviously are very, very major components of it. But I think, Coach, if we had a kid come and average 20 points a game for 4 years, you know, go on and have a great NBA career but never graduate, Coach Izzo would take that very personal. I mean, he would feel like he failed the young man by not stressing the importance of academics. And that might sound corny, but that's reality. That's the way guys like Coach Izzo and guys like Coach Crean are built. They fully understand that it's so much bigger than just basketball, because it's something we tell our guys every day, something you've probably heard in some ESPN speech, but it's going to end. Basketball is going to end for most of us. I mean, it's the entertainment business. I mean, that's what it is. It's entertainment, and for every one guy that goes to the NBA in a Power Six conference, there's probably 30 that don't. And so it is going to end for most of us. And you see that NCAA commercial on all the time, but the reality sets in. Most of these guys don't quite understand that it's a difficult world out there when you finish college. I mean, it's a tough business. And I think it's, you know, one thing that Coach Crean and Coach Izzo share is they're not going to let their players down. They're not going to let their student athletes down. And they're going to make sure that they have full grasp of how important academics are.
You know, you were a person who was able to keep your career going, transitioning to coaching. You became a D1 coach at the age of 25. Now you're at Michigan State. My question to you is, do you ever suit up in practice, or you always stay on the sidelines?
I think I've made the suggestion to Coach Izzo. He was afraid I'd hurt somebody. I'm a little out of shape, a little ragtag looking. I think he's afraid I'd hurt somebody. I got it going a little bit at Fort Wayne. I didn't practice too much, but I get in there and drills and try to show some guys some tricks. But I'd always find myself getting hurt, so I'm not as strong. Lost a lot of muscle mass. It goes when you quit playing. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your body's used to playing at that such a high level. You shut it down, and your body, whew, it ain't good. Let's put it that way.
I actually heard an interview the other day with Roy Hibbert, who said Larry Bird occasionally comes out in a full suit and shoots threes, somehow still hits everything. So I don't know.
Hey, well, I'll tell you this. I'm not bragging, but I can tell you I can probably shoot with the best on the team here. I might be the best shooter in the Big Ten. Coaching-wise, I challenge all coaches, with exception to maybe Chris Gent.
Yeah.
Who I think can probably still get it going at Ohio State, but I'll challenge any coach in the Big Ten, that's for sure.
I'd hate to see a matchup with Draymond Green, though. I think that would leave you with a couple of bruises at the end of the day.
That's probably true.
That's actually what I was just going to ask about Draymond, just seeing him, you know, he scored 29 points against Indiana the other day, and just watching him this year, and I guess really his whole career, he just seems like the heart of this team, more so than kind of a lot of guys who get that label. Have you been around many players like Draymond, just what he does in terms of leadership for a team?
No, and you know what? It wasn't always that way for Day-Day. His nickname's Day-Day, so I'll just use Day-Day. It wasn't always that way for Day-Day. I think part of it was he loves to win. I mean, we can talk about it, but everybody loves to win. But I guess more importantly, he cannot stand losing at anything, and everybody can say that, but I think Day-Day is pretty consistent every day, and that he cannot stand losing, whether it's a debate on who's the better quarterback, Tebow or Elway. You know, Day-Day cannot stand losing. So I think he's had to, and he's forced himself to evolve from the standpoint that how do I sustain winning? How do I continue to get better at winning and not losing? How do I continue? And I think he's found that he has natural leadership qualities, natural leadership abilities, and he's really discovered that, found that, you know, even his leadership style, you know, he's a completely different, he's always been a leader in a sense, but he's found he's evolved his ability to lead in different ways, and he's constantly striving to learn how to lead better. I think that's, you know, a sign that Day-Day is going to be not just a great basketball player for years to come, but a very successful person, because he's constantly searching for ways to make himself better and fully understands that he can get better. I think that's an important trait that you know, obviously, we all should have, but we all don't possess, is that Day-Day understands that, you know, he can get better every day. And I think that's something that he's really evolved and turned into as a guy, as opposed to his freshman, sophomore, even last year. Even last year, there's been significant change.
Yeah, you can definitely see it from him on the court. It's evident to people who aren't even around him every day. There's been a big change in his game. Coach, you know, you guys have a big game this weekend against Ohio State, but, you know, I think people have kind of come to expect a certain quality of basketball from Michigan State in the postseason with Coach Izzo being around for so long. People are pretty familiar with it. What people aren't familiar with, really, is what the Hoosiers are going to be like in the postseason. It's been a while since they've been there, and It'll be their first games under Tom Crean. What do you think, you know, IU's got to do right the rest of the year for them to kind of succeed and maybe make a little noise in the Big Ten tournament and maybe even the NCAA tournament?
Well, I think once you get to the NCAA tournament, and we were just talking about this yesterday, is you've got to have great guard play. And I think IU's fortunate to have a guy like Halls, a guy like Oladipo that's really turned his game up. You know, they've slid Watford to the guard spot a little bit. They've got depth, that's for sure. Sheedy's back healthy, playing better. At least it appears he's healthy, playing better. You know, they could bring Moore off the bench if they needed to, who's got a ton of experience. So I think good guard play is going to be important. They've got two centers playing well in Pritchard and Zeller, and then you throw in Elston, who can really knock down the three ball. I like where IU's at right now. They stay healthy, all that. Continue to progress, which they have. They've got a guy a couple guys that have coached in the Final Four, so they're in good shape. I feel, and I'm excited for them. We obviously still we may see them in the Big Ten tournament. That'll be great for the fans, great for the players. A little nerve wracking for the coaches, but it'll be an exciting time. We know that. So things are going good. It looks like down there at IU, and obviously we couldn't be happier for them at Michigan State, with exception to when we play them, if we play them again. So it's exciting for all of us. It's exciting for the Big Ten.
Well, Coach, it's also exciting watching you at Michigan State. We'll be sure to keep an eye on you the rest of the season. And thanks so much for coming on the show. It's been great reminiscing a little bit about old times and also talking about what you're up to these days. So thanks a lot, Coach.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
And that will do it for this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Once again, thanks to Dane Fife for coming on the show. We're going to be back next week, so check back with Inside the Hall. And until then, for Greg Rosenstein, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Play. Sir. Yeah.
Kane is in the building.
Yeah.
All right.